could find one of the Bibles in the seats next to you and turn to page 763. My name's Matthew Mason. I'm one of the pastors here at Church of the Resurrection. And we're going to think about God's word together, about these last actions of Jesus before his betrayal for just a few minutes. As we begin, let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you who said, "Let there be light," and made light shine in the darkness, we pray to you now that by your Spirit you would make your light shine in our hearts to show us the light of your glory in the face of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's take a look at verse 3. In just a couple of hours, Jesus is going to be betrayed. Within about 18 hours, he will have died. This is his frame of mind as he goes to his death. Verse 3, Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and he had come from God, and that he was returning to God. So he said to his disciples, "Guys, do you have no idea who I am? Why have none of you washed my feet? Get with it." Just before Christmas, I was on the phone to someone I had known from a distance for a number of years, someone I respect very greatly. He was a church planter here in the States. And while I was at seminary, I'd discovered a website that he had put together with a lot of essays that he had written and that friends of his had written. And they'd been really formative for me in my training to be a pastor. I was talking to him on the phone because we were trying to figure out how I could interview a friend of his who'd contributed to that website to do an interview with him for a blog that I write for occasionally. And as we were talking, I had this dim memory that he was no longer pastoring, and I asked him. What had happened was the church he was planting was just too small to be able to employ him and support his family. So I asked him what he was doing, and he said to me, "Well, I'm doing some freelance writing, actually." No, actually, to be honest, that doesn't pay the bills. I work in corporate sanitation. Look, okay, let me be honest with you, I'm the porta potty guy. And I thought about him about a month later as I was at the inauguration, and I was in line for the porta potty. I mean, those things are disgusting. I am, cards on the table, I'm pretty fussy. I don't mind camping as long as the hotel I'm staying in has at least 4 stars. But in the grand scheme of things, you know, in terms of public restrooms, you have the 4-star hotel, Starbucks, the ballpark, and somewhere down here, porta potties. And I'm standing there thinking, this is revolting, and what's it like to be the porta potty guy? This is really horrible in January. What's it like to be the porta potty guy in the middle of August? Those of you who know me are nervous now because you know that I don't have really good filters and you're wondering how far this illustration's going to go. But you can picture it, can't you? It's revolting. In a few minutes, we're going to be washing one another's feet, and it's going to be awkward. It's going to be rather embarrassing, at least for the first moment or two. But it's going to be awkward for completely different reasons than it was awkward in the first century. In the first century, to be the guy who washed someone else's feet, I mean, it wasn't being the porta potty guy. It was much worse than being the porta potty guy. In the first century Middle East, in that hot and sweaty climate, where people are walking around in sandals around towns where there's no sanitation, across fields where there are plenty of animals, and you've been walking around in these open-toed sandals in this hot, sweaty climate on these dusty, dirty roads covered in goodness only knows what, you arrive at a meal and someone has to kneel down and wrap a towel around their waist and get up close and personal with your disgusting feet. It was a job for slaves, and in Jewish culture, there were rules that it was a job that Jewish slaves did not have to do. It was so degrading and so disgusting. There are very, very rare instances recorded where friends will do it for one another in an act of extraordinary love. There is no recorded incident in the ancient world of a superior washing an inferior's feet, except for one incident. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he'd come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. He poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. There you are, washing someone else's feet, covered with all kinds of filth, with just a towel and a bowl of water. There's no antibacterial soap. And you're going to use those hands in just a moment to eat. It's an extraordinary act of self-humiliation and love. So it's the day after the inauguration. The parties are all over. The band has gone home. The crowds have dispersed. And the president walks up Pennsylvania Avenue to the West Lawn of the Capitol building. He walks up to the guys from Don's John's and he says, "All right, guys, I'll take it from here." I can't imagine a president during my lifetime doing that. I can't imagine a ruler, a prime minister, or the queen in my country doing that. Jesus is fully aware that God has put all things under his power. He's fully aware that everybody, he has the right for everybody to serve him, and he chooses to use that power to humble himself and to wash his friend's feet. Why does he do it? Why does he do it? Well, John tells us in verse 1. Jesus knew the time had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. Jesus is doing it because he is motivated out of incredible love for his followers. He humbles himself in this way to show them just how much he loves them and just what that kingly love looks like. Jesus is saying this is what a true ruler, a true king, looks like. This is what my love for you looks like. We could actually translate what John writes more literally. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now loved them to the finish. He loved them to the finish, right to the finishing line. And John introduces this cleansing that is taking place, talking about Jesus loving his friends to the finish, because he wants to, as we read through his gospel for the second time, he wants to connect what he's doing here with what he's about to do as he dies on the cross. Jesus loves his disciples to the finish, and so as he dies, he cries out, "It is finished." The same word in the original, "It is finished." Jesus's love for his disciples in humbling himself, in debasing himself to wash their feet, it's just a little illustration, a little picture of the far greater love he's about to show as he really humiliates himself to die the most degrading death the ancient world knew. There on the cross, he shows the full extent of his love. He loves us to the finish. And as he dies, says John, a soldier pierces Jesus' side with a spear so that out of his side comes water and blood. Water and blood for our cleansing from sin. Water and blood for our cleansing out of the love of Jesus for us. That's what's going on as Jesus washes his disciples' feet. He's giving us a little picture of his extraordinary love as he dies for us to cleanse us from our sin. He loves his disciples to the finish. And then he says to them, love one another as I have loved you. As I have washed your feet, so you wash one another's feet. In just a moment, we are going to wash each other's feet. And it'll be awkward. But actually, once you cross that threshold of discomfort, I think this is now the fourth time I've participated in this service, and I don't like even touching my own feet, let alone having someone else touch them, let alone having to touch somebody else's feet. It's just how I am. I'm English, and, you know, it's not. But actually, once I overcome that momentary awkwardness, it is one of the loveliest moments of the year. As someone gets up close and personal with your smelly feet, just a little picture of the love that we have for one another, a little picture of our desire to serve one another in the name of Jesus. Jesus calls on us to imitate him, but as we imitate him, actually it's an illustration as well. It's an illustration of his love for us. As someone gets up close to your feet and washes them, it's an illustration not just of their love for you, but of Jesus' love for you. It's an illustration of what he was doing as he went to his death for you and for me. So think about it for a moment. Jesus is here in the upper room, and he's about to die to save the world. I mean, if anyone deserves a pass at this moment, it's him, isn't it? He has got bigger things on his mind. And yet here's the amazing thing. As he knows full well what is about to happen to him, as he knows full well that he must lay down his life for the sake of the whole world, he takes a moment to show very personal love and attention to those closest to him whom God has put in his life. And in so doing, actually, he illustrates what's going on as he dies for us on the cross. His death is not just a kind of general death for the whole of the world or for the whole of creation. It is that. But it's also a very personal death for each one of us. It's a sign of personal love for each one of us. So that Paul can write in the letter to the Galatians of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So just think about that as someone is washing your feet. Jesus died to give you the kind of cleansing that this washing points to. But Jesus died in a way that is deeply personal and deeply intimate for each one of us. That is what his love looks like, not just a generalized love for all of humanity. That's easy, isn't it, in this city, where everyone wants to save the world, but no one wants to help to do the dishes. Jesus isn't like that. Jesus has this great love for the whole of the world, and then a very personal care for each one of us. That's what's being illustrated as we cross the threshold and we wash one another's feet. I'm just going to take a moment of quiet, and then Tommy is going to come and introduce. Oh, we're going to sing. Okay, we're going to take a moment of quiet, and then Greg is going to lead us in singing.